The word today is evil. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Evil is all around us. Martin Luther spoke of the unholy three, the devil, the world, and our flesh. But there is hope. And here to help us learn how to combat evil is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Evil.
There are many parables in the Bible, and one of them I'd like to chat with you about today is found in the 13th chapter of Matthew. As a matter of fact, Matthew 13 has several parables just in that single chapter. And the one that I'd like to talk to you about is Matthew 13, verse 24 to 30. Now, in case you don't have a Bible handy or you're driving in your car or wherever you happen to be, let me just share with you a few thoughts about that particular parable, and then we'll discuss it. This is the parable of the weeds, or the wheat and the tares, as it's sometimes called. And it's the parable that explains that a farmer has sown his field with good seed, and he is expecting a crop of wheat. And as the grain begins to grow, all of a sudden his hired hands come back to him and say, "Oh, sir, you have no idea what's happened. There are weeds all over your field. Somebody during the night must have come and sown some weeds, because now we have a real mess. Because not only is the grain growing, but also the weeds are growing." And so they propose an idea. They say, "Shall we get a crew? Let's go out in the field and let's pull out all these weeds." And the owner of the field remarkably says, "No, no, we are not going to do that." Now, at first, that seems extremely puzzling. You would think the owner of the field would be very happy to get rid of all the weeds and to have his hired hands go out there and eliminate the weeds. And so until you find out the meaning and the application of this story, it seems a little puzzling. So fortunately, the answer is given in detail. We don't have to wonder what it means. We are told precisely what it means. The owner of the field says, "The reason I don't want you to go out there and try and pull out the weeds are that these weeds look very similar, almost exactly alike, to the actual good grain. And someone out there, as you're trying to pull out weeds, may accidentally pull out a stalk of wheat or a growth that is going to turn into wheat, and I don't want that to happen because I don't want anyone lost." And so this is a parable of how God, you know, have you ever had the question in your mind, how does God allow evil to continue to exist? Why does God let evil continue to exist? Well, here we have it in the answer to this parable. Why did the owner of this field, who is representing God in this parable, allow the weeds to grow right next to the good grain? And he gives the answer, "Because I do not want any mistakes made. I do not want someone to accidentally pull up this good grain, this good harvest, just by accident, thinking it's a weed when it really is not, because they look so similar." And how God is answering this question for you and me this morning. Why does evil continue to exist in this world? Why doesn't God just wipe it out, destroy the devil, and eliminate evil? Now, perhaps you heard the most common answer to this, certainly the one that I use the most often, is that God wants us to love him, and God wants for us to be able to have love toward him. He doesn't want us to be robots. He doesn't want to press a button on a panel in heaven that says bow down, and then we all kneel and bow down. He wants to give us, and has given us, a free will. And you have to have a free will in order to love. No one can require you to love them. No one can demand you to love them. You have to have a free choice. You have to volunteer, so to speak, voluntarily love whomever it is you choose to love. And God wants us to love him. And so we have this choice between evil and good. Now, quite frankly, the Christian is the only really free person in the world. I know many worldly and ungodly people think they're free. They think they can go around, do anything they want, and they kind of parade what they call their freedom. The truth is, they can't even believe. They don't even know the true God. They are totally enslaved by Satan and evil. They are robots to evil, so to speak, because they don't have a choice. Now, the person that's been converted, the person that has this new birth, this conversion experience, and the person now that is a child of God, we still have a choice. Now, if somebody is dumb enough, and that would be total stupidity, to say, well, I can still make a choice, and so I choose the devil, and I choose to go to hell, that would be, my goodness, you can't even conceive of somebody being that stupid. I suppose there are people that do, but we also have an alternative. We have a choice. We can love God, and we can choose to follow him and follow his will. Now, in this parable, you notice, there is a conclusion to this parable. The master of that field, the owner of that field, says, now the day will come when there will have to be a harvest. And at that harvest, I will send the workers, these will be the angels, and they will know. The grain will be fully produced, the weeds will be fully produced, and they will know how to separate them. And they will take all the weeds and they'll pile them on a pile and burn them. That's representing hell. And they will take the grain and put it into the granary in what is represented here, their heavenly home. They will be saved. So now, you know, the angels, it speaks as it explains this. In verse 36 to 43, it says the angels will gather. Actually, in Revelation 21, you see this type of thing referred to again. So I want to speak a little bit about this freedom and how evil the world is around us and how we can understand why the two coexist. In Galatians 5, there's a beautiful heading to that chapter, by the way, Freedom in Christ, and that's what it talks about there. You see, ultimately, I suppose I could tell you a little illustration here that in my mind tries to clarify this. I was in a mall during our summer vacation, and it was time to eat, so we went to the food court. And my wife likes to walk around and shop and look at things. I'm not too big on that. Once I've checked out the bookstore and, you know, other things that are of interest to me, I just as soon wait and read a book and wait for her to finish. And sometimes that's an hour or two. So I was still sitting in the food court sipping on my drink. And here, several hundred feet away from where I was, in the main aisle of the mall, came a young woman, probably, I don't know, maybe in her 30s. And she had a real rebellious punk of a kid. I would judge the kid was 12, 13, you know, that somewhere in that age category. And this boy was yelling at his mom and screaming at her and yanking at her arm, trying to get away. And all of a sudden, he took his free hand and made a fist and hit her right in the chest, right in the stomach. And boy, oh boy, I saw this. And I got up and I walked out into the main aisle where they were. And I leaned over into the ear of this boy and I whispered, "You start obeying your mother, or I'm going to knock your head off." I got his immediate attention. I'm a pretty big guy. I'm 6'2", 280 pounds. And he looked at me, and man, he shaped up immediately. Now, there's a little more to the story, because about a half hour, 45 minutes later, they were walking back the other way past the food court again, and I was still there. And oh, was he ever nice. He was walking nicely with his mother, holding her hands, and his eyes were on me. And I just cite this as an illustration. There's no trick, especially if you're a big person, you can make kids shape up immediately. All you have to do is threaten them. Or, you know, I think some people bribe their kids. You be good, I'll give you a dollar, you know, or whatever. And so there's no trick in making a kid want to obey you. You know what the trick is? You know what the important thing is? Making them want to obey you. That takes time. That takes discipline. That takes effort. That takes hours of conversation and discussion to make sure they understand. And that's the important thing, not just making them shape up. Now, of course, I didn't have time to get into that kind of a discussion with that little boy. I'm hoping now the parents have figured out how to discipline the child and how to help him want to obey. There's evil all around. You know, I'm watching my time disappear on this program, and I'm realizing that some of the major points I want to get to, I'm not getting to. And this illustration took a little longer to tell than I realized it would. And so instead of jamming everything in at the end, I'm just going to repeat the premise and then talk about it again next week. The evil that surrounds us is going to remain there, God says, until the final day. And then, in his judgment, he will see to it that they're separated. Evil will go to hell along with Satan, and those that believe and are forgiven and love God, and those who truly trust in him will go to heaven. And we will have life eternal with him forever.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Judgment. A foundational belief of the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. A promise of doom to the unbeliever, but of great hope to the believer. So write today for your free copy of Judgment. Our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.